appreciate you changing your schedule around because you were at the Economic Outlook Conference yesterday. First of all, let's start there. What were your thoughts on some of the things that you heard yesterday there?
Well, I'll always play the doom and gloom quotes. You know, I thought everything was fairly positive after the $30 a barrel oil hiatus that we're dealing with. But, we had banner years in 2015 and 2014 and 2013. Do we think 2016 in real estate is going to be better than 15? I hope so. January's been outstanding. I think if you talk to a lot of the agents around town, it's been great. I think you're seeing a lot of influx of people pulling their money out of other investments and are now sticking it into real estate where prices are still undervalued compared to other states. So I think if you look at it from a city perspective and from a real estate perspective, we've done fairly well with the circumstances. The hotels have definitely seen a dip. I mean, we have a lot of extended stay hotels in Bryan. Those hotels were booked on a day-by-day, week-by-week, month-by-month basis. And so some of the fracking officials and the land and lease parties there, companies are no longer using those hotels. And so hopefully when production picks up, that'll help. But Bryan College Station is very well diversified in business, and we're not dependent upon the oil and gas market. It did hurt. People did lose jobs. Companies did downgrade to downsize, and some closed. But we have other companies like Axis Pipe and Tube. We're talking to some new ones that are fixing to come to town, and everything in the Bio Corridor and College Station's business parks and our new Texas Triangle Park. So our job as elected officials to help bring those jobs to town, to hopefully help make up for those positions that were eliminated. But again, we can't be dependent upon one industry. We are somewhat dependent upon Texas A&M University. Sure. And so I think Dr. Gaines mentioned that they weren't hiring a lot, or had a hiring freeze in 2015. So that's why we didn't have an influx of jobs created there at A&M. But through thick and thin and good and bad times, university towns typically do better than most. Most people aren't losing their jobs at the university. They may not increase the jobs, but they're not losing their jobs. It's a very stable economy. It's a very stable employer. And we are dependent upon A&M and then everything that they have to benefit to our communities. But I think the elected officials in Bryan, College Station, Brazos County, the Research Valley Partnership, the Bryan Business Council, all those entities together, Blinn College, A&M, BVCOG have done a great job of bringing good businesses here to our community and helping us survive some of the circumstances that other cities and other states have been affected by many years in the past. Sure. And so I think 2016 is going to be great. Jim Gaines, Dr. Gaines, does a great job, and his information's definitely worth looking at. And I think y'all got his speech on
it's online.
WTW.com. Yep. And yeah. Welcome everyone to go take a listen to it. But I think 2016 is still going to be pretty good. I think he's saying that probably in the third and fourth quarter we'll start seeing some declines. But, if it's a fraction of what it was the previous years, it's still going to be good. But it's our job as elected officials to keep bringing employment opportunities, better employment opportunities to our community here, and we'll continue to do so.
Well, Jason Bansky joining us this morning. Like to get your thoughts on a hearing which took place in San Antonio yesterday. The Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, has decided that we may need to start looking at tax rollbacks. Now, obviously, what that means is if taxes go up too much, then the voters would be able to go to the ballot box and decide against that. That would think be somewhat problematic for any kind of a taxing entity such as the city of Bryan.
Well, I've just heard briefly on the news a little bit about Lieutenant Governor's plan and what he's planning to do. You understand you are talking to the mayor, Bryan, but you're talking to a mayor, Bryan, who is in the property business. And so tax reductions and tax deductions, tax breaks are great. As a conservative Republican, we like that. We haven't increased the tax rate in Bryan over 10 plus years. We try to work within our budget. We try to cut cost as best we can, and government always needs to do a better job of doing that, whether on the local level, the state level, and the federal level, and it's more on the probably federal and state level that they need to be more focused on cutting the expenses and reducing that debt. But anytime we can bring tax relief to the homeowners and to the property owners, I think it's good. You know, there's been talks about reducing the property taxes in Texas, an increase in sales taxes and user taxes. And, you know, so those that maybe aren't paying property taxes, but they're out buying, you know, $300 pair of tennis shoes will pay a higher tax. And the $50,000 cars will pay a higher tax. So there's different variations of ways we can do it. And some of our presidential candidates are talking about some of those. But anytime we can give relief to the taxpayers is important. You know, and giving them a voice and a say, and then I think it'll be up to those governments to work within their budgets and work within the dollars that are given, you know, at that point. And if a community decides they want to, as Henry Mayo said in his presentation yesterday, when Brian decided to pave the roads in town, and, and that wasn't a common thing, and everyone was touting their fine dirt roads, and Brian passed, Travis Brian Sr., I believe, was behind passing a tax, implemented that passed. I think 90% of the people voted in favor for it to pave the streets in Bryan, to bring commerce to the city and to bring automobiles to the city. And that was good for business and economic development back in the early 1900s. And so, you know, a community, when they get an opportunity to decide what they want to do and what's best for them, is always important.
Sure. Mayor Jason Byinski of Bryan joining us this morning. Fairly in-depth article this morning in the Bryan paper about the city council meeting you had. The plan was that a couple of members of three members of council would sit down with staff and take a look at what the expenses were having to do with traditions. And so, again, you're on one side of this issue as opposed to the others, and so we're certainly going to have the people from the other side on to talk about this. But where do we stand with this process right now? Because you know, the group on the other side of this issue believes that the city has spent a lot more money on traditions than the numbers seem to indicate.
Well, you've got those that stand with staff and with our inside and outside auditors. Our numbers are audited by an outside firm every year. We have several CPAs that work for the city of Bryan, our CFO, our assistant CFO. They do an outstanding job for the city of Bryan, and I trust our staff. I trust our auditors and the information that they give us. In all fairness, it's a very difficult situation when you start talking about fund accounting. You know, to try to sum it up in just a few sentences, because it is a very complicated issue. We have some council members that are in their numbers that are including both the debt, the borrowed funds, and the projects that the debt was borrowed for. Fund accounting is required by cities and will show every expenditure a city will make in a year. So if you want actual costs, you simply subtract the debt. Their numbers also had many errors outlined in a document that was presented by Councilmember Ben Hardiman. So I ask our staff to even simplify that even more. So because it is a complicated issue. So Scott, if you go out and you go out and borrow $25,000 for a car, so you borrow the money for that car, you write the seller a check, $25,000 for that car. You don't include that check for the car and all your payments, principal and interest, to come up with what you paid for the car. Otherwise, it'll show a double amount.
Mm-hmm.
So if you show that you paid $25,000 for it, plus you paid the bank back $27,000, you've got a $52,000 car. Did it cost you $52,000? So it's real easy, and there's... You know, we can talk about some of the other errors in some of the numbers, but you know, our staff is showing about a $35 million expense. Some of the council members are closer to double that amount, in the $72 million range. Again, I have every faith in our staff and faith in the numbers, and it's a good project. They talk about the water. Again, we entered into a 380 agreement. We have probably a dozen or so 380 agreements with the city of Bryan. We just entered into one on the east side with Oakmont. We just entered into one here a few months ago, 6 months ago or so, with the Ice House. Basically, that building was given to someone if they'll put $1 million of improvements into it or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then fix it up and bring in retail and shopping and all that to the north end of downtown Bryan. There's a value
but let
to
me,
that.
Let me interrupt for just a minute. But the difference here is that you are going to continue to give them that, as opposed to the Ice House, as opposed to Oakmont, where I'm not familiar with the Oakmont, I'm more familiar with the Ice House, but this is a one-time thing. Part of the contention is this is an ongoing expense, that this water is being provided to traditions every month. And I understand that's part of the agreement, but doesn't that make it somewhat different than these other 380s that you're talking
about? It's a part of a negotiation, whether you want $10 million for your development or whether you wanted water because that's an essential part of taking care and maintaining the golf course. That's what they wanted. That was part of the negotiation. That was what the council agreed on, and that was there. What value does that water have? We had our first offer I call it gray water. It's probably the best way to describe it. Gray water in 2015, we use less than 10% for the west side plant. We've got 90% that's unused. It's dumped into the river. So if there's a value and we can make, according to the other council members' numbers, $20 million by selling that, then let's sell it for $20 million. If anyone would like to pay $20 million for City of Bryan's gray water, it's for sale.
You're ready to do that.
We've got 90% of it available still. So let's talk about selling that first. But to go and renege on a 380 agreement, it doesn't bode well for the City of Bryan. It doesn't bode well for the companies that want to come here, for the people that want to do business with us. If you're constantly breaking your contracts and agreements, whether you think today it's a good deal or not, again, these deals are entered into many years ago. There was a building in downtown Bryan that was sold 10, 15 years ago for a dollar. And I had someone the other day mention to me, man, I would have bought that for a dollar in a heartbeat. Well, there wasn't anyone but one buyer at that time that wanted mm-hmm. to buy it. Mm-hmm. They had to put X amount of money into it, and nobody was buying in downtown Bryan at the
right.
time. So it was a catalyst. But, you know, at that time, under those circumstances, it was great. You know, we don't have people lined up to do the Ice House typically. You know, it was limited supply of interest there with the issues and concerns and the problems and the dollars that are going to be expended into that building. Let me
ask you this, and I want to make it real simple so people understand. There was going to be a development on the west side, and the whole idea was let's put some inducements together. So that was part of the package, and $1 was part of the package, and I understand that. But now there are members of council who say too much money has been spent by the City of Bryan. They want to get another auditor in to give them a report. And again, we'll have them come in and talk about this. But in the bottom line, do you see any kind of a scenario where the City of Bryan might revisit this agreement?
Well, we're talking about the agreement that was in place from 1999. You know, it was taken over by the existing Traditions Acquisition Partnership. You know, we've got, I think, the Atlas project with the Conference Center and Hotel. There's several million that can be put into it, and that's about it. I think we're looking at about $5 or $6 million that can be expended in the future if X, Y, and Z is accomplished or done or developed or built. So there's not an ongoing expense. So if you're talking about, well, the water costs, well, again, we're just now getting offers to where we can sell that water. There wasn't people lined up to buy that water back in 1999 when that was given, but that was part of the arrangement, part of the deal. In any negotiation, if you have two parties that want to come to the table and want to renegotiate and change the terms, we can do that. To renege on those terms, I think, would be bad business for the City of Bryan. It's been a good development. Because of Traditions, you have the Health Science Center. Because of the Health Science Center and Traditions, you have the BioCorridor. You have all the new development out there, all the new infrastructure, the new fire station, the overpasses, the new residential subdivisions, new commercial developments. So it's all been a domino and a effect out on the west side. It's been good for the City of Bryan.
But it's been good for them, too. It's been good for them, too.
In any arrangement, negotiation, and partnership, it is a partnership. You hope it's good for both sides.
Sure.
If you and I enter into an agreement to go buy a rent house and I'm making money but you're not, that's not a good partnership.
Right.
A good partnership is when both sides are successful and to the benefit of all.
But do you see a scenario where you would go back to the table with them and say, hey, it's been really good. It really has. Now, the market has changed some.
But the market has changed, Scott, because of what they have done. If you look at what those lots were worth, what the land was worth back in 1999 or back when TAP took over the deal, it's not the same as it is today. If you look at that building in downtown Bryan that was sold 10, 15 years ago for a dollar, it's $1.5 million building right now, $1.5 million building. So do you go back and negotiate with a guy and say, hey, it's $1 million building now, not a dollar building, and we need to renegotiate that? Again, that was part of the agreement. The 50 acres for a dollar was part of that negotiations. It wasn't something that was done today or done by this current mayor in the past few years or this current council. It was agreed upon in the past, part of the negotiations, and the and we're living up to those obligations. This current council did not start this traditions development, but we inherited this deal. And our job as the leaders of this community are to make sure it's successful, because if it's not successful, Scott, then the money will come out of the general funds to pay for any debt and any expenses and infrastructure that's still outstanding in the West Side. So if we go out there and we talk bad about the development and we do everything we can to hinder the development like some are doing right now, then it could fail. People may not invest money out there. People may not buy a house out there. They may decide not to put a business out there if they're worried about it. And then who pays for that? The taxpayers. Because then it's put back on the taxpayers and it comes out of the general funds, because those dollars still have to be paid back. And so if we're going to go out there bring down the West Side of Bryan, which has done a great, in general has done very well, very proud of the West Side of Bryan, not just tradition, but everything, then it's going to have a huge impact, a negative impact of a future economic development, residential development, and what happens out there. So our job is to make it successful, and we've done a great job of doing that with our relationship with TAP. They've done an outstanding job. They built a clubhouse when no one else wanted to build a clubhouse. There was a lot of things done. They put in the city streets and the infrastructure. They're building the hotel that a lot of people thought the hotel wouldn't be built. Bringing the town center out there helped us bring out the bio corridor, and we've got a new luxury apartment complex being built. A new senior community is currently being built. The Atlas Town Center is currently being built. The PIF is currently being built for the pandemic influenza center we've got going on out there. So it's a lot of great things on the west side of town, and I'm sorry that some people disagree on the numbers, but I'll take the resumes of our CFO and our assistant CFO and our outside auditors. Again, it was audited by outside auditors. There was a proposition made, and I say this jokingly, but our city manager told the council members that if they believe the numbers are wrong, that we'll spend more tax dollars to get it audited. But if the numbers come back wrong, then the city manager will pay for that audit out of his personal funds. If it comes back that those numbers were right, then those council members pay for it. No one took them up on that offer. So if you're confident in those numbers, then I think that's a deal you take. But again, how much money do we spend? So do we go spend another $5,000, $10,000, $50,000 to tell us what an outside auditor already told us, what our CFO, our accountants have already told us? These aren't my numbers, Scott. I'm not qualified to be a CPA and digesting all these numbers, but again, the simple facts. They talk about the 34 lots that were in question that were given. Well, those were foreclosed on by the bank from the previous company, and those were taken over by the current partner, TAP. So that wasn't something the city gave. It wasn't ours to give. Sure. They came from another deal. We talk about the water again. That can
Don't want to do it again, because I want to get the other side on, because I need to do that. But let's move on beyond this real quickly. Is there anything else that you want to touch on before we're done today?
I want to mention we had some students here from A&M that were to come talk about the big event, and I hope I've got my dates right here. April 1, does that sound right? April 1 is the big event. Mm-hmm. February 19th by 5 p.m. is the sign-up period, so you've got till the 19th of February to sign up for the big event. So we encourage everyone in Bryan and College Station to sign up for that. They do a wonderful job on behalf of the City of Bryan, City mm-hmm. of College Station, the citizens. I want to thank everyone. Is it the 2nd? April 2nd. Okay, Saturday, April 2nd.
Okay.
Is the big event date. I hope it's beautiful weather like we have today, Scott, but encourage everyone to sign up. If you know someone that's in need that may not be able to sign up, maybe work with them to get them on the docket, but it's probably the largest student-run event in the country, if not the world, and they do a wonderful job. It's a way to give back to the community, and so I thank them for what they've done over the years to our community, and again encourage everyone to sign up and thank these students out there on April 2nd for what they're doing to our community, making it a better place.
That's it. Thanks for the time this morning. All right.